Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara in Sadek Zayin of Ezra, 11 lines from the bottom, the words Pshita. So the Gemara now could have quoted a similar statement we mentioned, the Shaila, the Ravina asked for Vashi. So now the Gemara is going to continue on that subject. The Gemara says, now Pshita, it's clear that if Niskavin Lizrok Shmona Vizarak Arba Rei Kosov Shemi Shimon, that someone wanted to throw something 8 Amos in Rosh Hashanah, and he ended up actually only throwing it 4 Amos, so he didn't do exactly what he wanted, that would be the similar case as writing Shem Mishimon. If someone intends on writing, we're going to learn later on, Gabona, that we're going to see that if someone wants to write, if a person, first of all, before that, if a person writes 2 letters on the Shabbos, it's Chayv Midoraisa. One letter, he's not Chayv Midoraisa, only Midorabanan. So if you write 2 letters, you're Chayv Midoraisa. However, what if you're intending, you also need Melechas Machsheves. You need to do what you have intended to do in order to be Chayv Melech on Shabbos. So what if I was intending to write Shimon, and I only started writing it Shem, and then I stopped. Then I realized, maybe, let's say I realized it was Shabbos. So am I Chayv Achatis or not? So the Gemara over there, the Mishnah tells us that you one would in fact be chayav, because as soon as you write Shem, that has already showed that part of the smaller malacha is already a small degree of what you'd intended, Rashi says, is part of the larger malacha, so then even in that situation you're going to be chayav achatas. So then that would be the exact case of throwing it, we wanted to throw it 8 and you only throw it 4, so it's basically you did halfway, but you did a malacha. So just like if I wanted to write the name Shimon, I only started writing Shem, so I did a malacha, I did part of the malacha, so then I'm going to be chayav just like I had in that first case. Now the Gemara says, when Niskavin Lizrok Arba Vizarek Shmona Manu. However, I'm wondering about the following, says the Gemara. What about if you wanted to throw an object, and you wanted to throw it only 4 Amos, and then it actually went 8 Amos in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so you overthrew it by 4 Amos. So the Gemara says, Mao, is that what's going to be the halacha in that circumstance? The Gemara is going to explain the two tzadim. Mi amrina and ha'afik lay. So you could say the first tzad is that you could say that at the end of the day you moved it 4 amos from where originally threw it, and that's what you intended to do. So you should be chayv. I mean, you moved it 4 amos, and there's just a rabbin. Oh, what's the second tzad? Dil mahechid debay ha'ilanach. At the end of the day, my machshava, what I had intended on doing, did not happen. It didn't rest. I wanted it to rest after 4 amos, and it only rested after 8 amos. So maybe I should assume that a person would not be chayv in that situation, because it's a totally different malacha. It's something I didn't intend on doing whatsoever. So the Gemara responds now, "Bilav hayne damar le Ravina Ravashi." But isn't this exactly similar to the case which Ravina and Ravashi had discussed before, where they said that we were discussing, Ravina asked Ravashi that Rabbi Yehuda White, it was going to be chayav too. So the Gemara asked over there, but where you wanted it to have, where you wanted something to rest, it didn't rest. And where it rest over there, not going to be chayav. So why, the Gemara was wondering, why you chayav two chatos is lefi Rabbi Yehuda in the Havamina. And the Gemara answered, because you had to say, Vamrela ba'oma koma kom shater tesha tanuach. Rav Ashi had to answer Ravina that really you're only going to be chayav if you explicitly want the malacha to be done only. You specifically don't care where it is. So we see that Ravina's question, Rav Ashi's answer, and unless the guy throwing it had actually no, he didn't care where it was going to go. He didn't have a goal. He didn't care that it was specifically going to go 8 amos or 4 amos. Then he's going to be chayav only if you had that situation. So then in this situation right now, where the guy actually had a kavana to throw it, whether it's a longer distance, Rashi points out, whether he wanted to throw it 8 amos and only throw it 4, or the other way around as well, now Rashi says, that even if you threw it 4 and now you are going to throw it 8 amos, so then that situation as well, in both situations, you should be pater. So the Gemara says, then also you wanted to compare that in the beginning when we said the Pshita, you compared it to Kamar's Harei Kosov Shem Shimon. Then maybe the case of throwing it in the situation where a person wanted to throw it 8 amos and you only threw it 4, that's the exact comparison to a guy who writes Shem Shimon, and therefore you should pasha be chayev. The Gemara says, Midami, is that really comparable? Well, Hasam, in that situation, Kama de lo Kosov Shem, as long as you didn't write the word Shem, Lomaisav Shimon, meaning in the process of writing the word Shimon, I have to write the word Shem. So therefore my act is fundamentally tied to the first one. So then I for sure should be chayav. However, halcha, in this situation with regards to the guy who wants to throw it 8 amos and only throw it 4, kama de lazarik arba lo mizrake le timna. That as is it really going to be true that as long as you don't throw 4, it's not going to be thrown 8? Rashi points out that the malacha, when it comes to hotzah, the malacha is not defined by their numbers, how far I want it to go. I want 6 amos, 10 amos, 12 amos. It doesn't matter. Rather, it's defined by akira and anacha. So if I wanted my akira and anacha, dafka, to happen after 8 amos, And then it really only happened after four. That can be viewed as a totally separate maisa, and it's not at all similar to what I had originally planned on doing. And therefore, that you can't compare the two cases. And therefore, you should be putter. Rav Yashu just points out as an artist. He says that kumadumali to whom I would not be able to make such a statement. Rav Yashu says that he thinks that this is the only time in all of Shas that there's such a thing where the Gemara has a pshita. The Gemara says pshita, it's pashut, and the Gemara was wondering about a second case, right? The Gemara is saying pshita that you wanted to throw it eight. Then you only threw it four, that case you'd be chayav. I'm only wondering if you wanted to throw out four and you threw it eight. But the Gemara ends up rejecting both the cases, even rejects the first pshita. Whenever the Gemara says a pshita, it says, I know this case, I just want to know case A, I know case A, and I'm just wondering about case B. The Gemara will always accept case A in every single case in Shas, except for Eliyahu points out over here, that this is the only exception to that rule. The Gemara said pashut, that if you wanted to throw it eight amos, and you only ended up throwing it four, the Gemara says right now, and rejects that, Gemara says, really, maybe you should in fact not be chayav, and the Gemara assumes a maskana to reject that svara, and it's fascinating thing that the Gemara rejects even the pshita in this situation. Okay, the Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan Hazorik Mirshus Haravim Lirshus Haravim. Someone throws an object from one Rishus Rabbim public domain to another public domain. Rishus Yachid Be'emta Arba Amos Chayav. And if there is a private domain in between them, and then if you had thrown it Arba Amos, the object traveled four Amos in the Rishus Rabbim is going to be Chayav. Rishus points out the Gemara is based on the Gemara. I was going to say in a second that if you throw even just four Amos and not all in one of them, meaning let's assume that I threw one Amma, I was in one Rishus Rabbim, I threw one Amma in that Rishus Rabbim. So it traveled one Amma, then it went over the Rishus Yachid, traveled another three Amos in the second Rishus Rabbim. In that situation, we're going to be Chayav. Now, turning the next Talmud, Pachos Marav Amos. However, if the object traveled less than four Amos, I would in fact be putter. Because, Rashi points out, because you haven't done a Hotzah, because we don't assume we're going to see, basically you didn't do any Hotzah yet, because we don't say Kluta, as the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Mike Mashmalan, what is the time of the Braisa teaching us? We know these two things. The Gemara says, no, Haka Mashmalan, Rishios Mustarfas. The first Chiddush is a big Chiddush. The fact that if I throw it one Amma in the first Rishios Harabim, and then it goes through the Rishios Yachin and travels another three Amma in the second Rishios Harabim, the fact that these two different Rishioses, they're two different Rishios Harabims, since they're both considered Rishios Harabim, they in fact are going to be tarf. And Rashi points out that's even a bigger chiddush, because this is arguing the shita of Rabbi Yossi, which we saw in Daf Pei. He tells us that someone who takes out half a grove garris from one house to Rishus Rabbim, another half to another Rishus Rabbim, he is not going to be chayav achata. So Rashi says that's taka arguing and Rabbi Yossi is machloka. Some Rishonim assume that it wouldn't be, but Lefi Rashi says a very big chiddush here, that this is arguing on that shita, that these different Rishus, these different Rishus Rabbim's public domains are mitzarif to each other to say a person to create liability, the person is going to be chayav. So now the Gemara says that's the first chiddush. The second one is Delomin Klutak Shunchas. Rashi alluded to that the second one is that we don't assume that something contained in the airspace, right, in the Rishus Rabbim, is as if it's rested, because if you assume that, like we've seen in Das Rabbi Yehuda, you might even be Chayav two Chatoses, right? The Gemara has suggested on the previous daf. So for sure you're going to be Chayav one Chatos according to that, if you hold of Klutak Mushahuncha, and you might even be Chayav two, because if you assume that it rested as soon as it went into the Rishus Hayachid, so then you have our Kira Hananacha and Rishus Rabbim, Rishus Hayachid, you should for sure be Chayav. So therefore we have two Chidushim over here. And then we see from that's two different conclusions. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Abba bar Abba, Amar Rav Huda, Amar Rav Hamavir Arba Amos Rishus Rabbim Mekora. Someone who's transferring an object four Amos in a covered Rishus Rabbim, a covered public domain, Potter is going to be exempt. Lefisha Eino Domei LeDiglei Midbar, because having a covered Rishus Rabbim, covered public domain, is not going to be similar to the way that Klal Yisrael when they were in the desert. This is the way that they traveled. We mentioned before, right? That all the lachas that learned out from the Rishus Rabbim, the Rishus Yachid, has to have be Rishus Rabbim exactly like they had it in the Midbar. And this characteristic, if you have it covered up, that would not be similar, so therefore you're not going to be chayav midoraisa. So the Gemara says, Eini, is it really true though? Vaha galos. We know that they had wagons in the Mishkan. That's how they transferred the Mishkan. That's how they moved the Mishkan. The Mekoros haven, and we know that they were covered. The Mishkan had, Rashi said, they had the krushim, they had the boards, and they were placed on top of the wagon, so they were covered. Ve'amar Rav Mishum, so that's not a kashi yet. Ve'amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Chia Agalos Tachtei Novnei Metzideim Rishus Harabim. And Rav told us in the name of Chia that the wagons, the areas beneath them, the areas are that's really in between, B'nei and between them, and on their sides are all going to be considered halachically Rishus Harabim. So Rashi points out that at this point the Gemara was assuming that the boards were piled up in a way that covered the entire length of the wagon, and therefore when you covered it and you covered it up, that's what we mentioned before, and then it still is assuming that that the area beneath are going to still be chayav. So Rav would still tell you the Nimr Chibla, you're going to be chayav in that situation between these wagons, which is, has the status of Rishus Rabim, but isn't that contradicting what we were saying before, that it's not going to be similar to Digla Midbar if you have Rishus Rabim Mekora, if you have a covered Rishus Rabim. So the Gemara wants to answer, Kikama Rav, when Rav said his statement is Bidarasa. And he's specifically referring to the gaps between the boards over here. So Rav's statement, we're saying that underneath the status as Rosh Hashanah, that's only referring to the open areas where there was no covering. So these open areas were going to be the area where he says going to be chayav. However, in a chanami, if it's something where the situation where it was covered, then you would not be chayav. So the Gemara now says, though, is this statement really possible to say bidas Rav? If a person has some pictures, it'd definitely be helpful to look at some pictures to figure out how you stack the lengthwise or upwise. So the Gemara here is going to have a lot of things that are a little complicated. So Gemara says michti. So orka da gala kama havas. So what was the length of the wagon? We're going to see based on later on is kama shaman. The length of the wagon is going to be 5 amos wide. So then pusya de karish kama havas. What was the width of the board? It's going to be amso paga is an am and a half. Kama mosi. So how many stacks of the boards are you going to be able to have? Plus, so you're going to have 3 stacks. So therefore, they were covering a total of 4.5 amos because 3 stacks of an am and a half is 4.5. So then you're going to have pashale paga amso. You have left over. You're going to have half an ama. So you're going to have half an amma, and you're going to have 2 gaps. Kishadile mar bein minis. You have 2 gaps, and you divide half an amma. So an amma is 6 tfachim, so you're going to have 3 tfachim between each of these 2 gaps. Then you're going to divide them to be 2, and you're left with an amma and vechetzi. You're going to be left with only an amma and a half. So the Gemara now suggests kilavu dummy. So if that's the case, so then we're going to assume that they're going to have the case of lavud, where we extend it, right? And it's as if it was covered, because you only have an amma and a half from the 2 gaps of the 2 gaps of the 2 boards. So really, it's as if the boards are really covering each other. So therefore, halachically, it's going to be viewed as if it's covered. And yet, Rav said, you're chayv midar reisa in this situation. So again, asking our kasha that it seems to be something that's bekora, and you are chayv midar reisa. So Gemara answers, mi sarvar karashim apu. Are you assuming that you would place the boards on the top of the wagon on their wide side, which we were saying before, then the wide side of the amma is that we assumed originally that it was going to be put on the side which was an amma and a half wide, because lechora it was probably more stable. So the Gemara was saying, no, now maybe we didn't put it on that side. Maybe we're putting it on their narrow side, which was only an amma across. If that's the case, so then why do we reject that? Why didn't you put them on the wide side? Because they had rings, Rashi says, right? They had the tabaos and they had the different things on them. So therefore, it was complicated to put it on their wide side. So we're putting it on the less wide side, which is only an amma across. And so this would therefore give us we would be able to have a bigger gap. Because why is that? Because if you put it on, if you're putting up 3 stacks, they're only taking up 3 amos. So then you have a gap of 1 amma in between each stack. So then if you have a gap of 1 amma in between each stack, then you're going to have much more than lavud, because an amma, again, is 6 tvachim. Lavud is only 3 tvachim. So if you have a gap that's 6 tvachim, then you would have an open area. So that's what the Rav was talking about. That area of Kiharit, that would be Doraisa, and not the part where the actual stacks were lined up. So the Gemara now asks, though, so, sunkla de karish kamahave. So the Gemara says at the end of the day, though, the thickness of the board was amsa, was 1 amma, kamahave mosiv. How many stacks would you place in the wagon? The Gemara is assuming now arba. You're going to put 4 stacks on there. Why? Because we wanted, again, we were trying to arrange in a maximum number of stacks that would be able to fit across the wagon's length. So now we're assuming that even though the wagon was five almost long, Rashi points out, it would be very difficult for them to put on five different boards that are 1 amma each, because Rashi says at that point it would be it would be impossible, it would fall off, it would be unstable. So therefore Rashi says they didn't do that, so they would put at maximum of, they were able to put 4. So the Gemara says, though, pasha la amsa, you would still have an amma open left over, when you divide them among the 3 gaps we're assuming now, because you had 4 different stacks and you had 3 gaps, then again, at the end of the day, if you have 1 amma divided by 3, you're going to have less than 3 tfachim by that, because 1 amma is only 6 tfachim. We're going to have 2 tfachim by each one at the end of the day, and therefore 2 tfachim we would apply lava to. So well, we again are asking Akasha that we have the open space is seemingly halakhically, if it is closed, then yet you're going to be chayav. So the Gemara says, hani chalaman damar krashim milamatan ovyon amma milamalin kalin vohchin ad ke'etzba shapir. So the Gemara says, though, this would still line up if you, the shita holds is a machlokes about the boards. We're going to see this machlokes. The Gemara is going to analyze next off. Is that the Gemara is going to say machlokes when not the boards were an amma thick below, whether they went up ad ke'etzba, or they went up ad ke'ama. So there's two adeyas. Everyone agrees that it was ama at the base. The shayla was, did they gradually go down and thin out until they got to only a shear of an etzba, it's just sort of a finger, which is very, very thin. So at that point, if you held like that, if you would hold like that, then this would actually, according to the shita, this would work out well, because then you could assume that there actually would be a gap more than three tzvachim. If you ever get more than three tzvachim, then you would have lavud. So therefore, we wouldn't have lavud, issue of lavud. Then Rav's statement about the Rishis Rabin being different, because here, these areas between the gaps would not be a problem. However, the Gemara asks, El Lamanda Amar, Kshem Shalomala, Shalomata, Ovian Amma, Kachem Laman, Ovian Amma, Mike Lamebar. But according to the Shitu says, that we're going to see next off, that there's just like this amma thick below, so too they were all the way out to the top, they were also an amma, then the remaining airspace would have less than three tefachim between these different areas, and according to them, how would Rav assume that this is Rosh Hashanah, l'charla achalachically should be considered covered? So Gemara now answers, Amar Rav Kahane be'at be'. That we're talking about, so there's actually Bachot Rashi quote different days, told us a different day, it's very complicated over here. What exactly the situation the Gemara wants to mention, whether we're talking about tabos or the rings, Rashi ends up liking the other one that it's really atbo, that it's more like, it's the type of clips, like what we have, like paper clips, something like that, that they created a type of situation where the middle of the wagon between the stacks they had a gap of an amma wide, which is too wide for lava to apply to it, so therefore Rav's statement is referring to this area beneath the gap. That is what, that's what Rashi, the shita that Rashi ends up liking more. Again, gets a little more complicated in the pictures and stuff like that, but that's just, we'll give simplicity, we'll give that, that's the pshat. Again, and there's even another pshat that some say was only, referring to the frame of the wagon. So that according to the Rav Kahana, the frames like these wagons were used in the Mishkan, and these were open, and that's what we're referring to. Okay, whatever the Gemara was referring to, there was definitely only referring to an open area. The Gemara says, so Gemara asks, so atbe hecha manachlehu. So how did one have these type of clip formations? The Gemara says, agba da agala. We're referring to the top of the wagon. So the Gemara says, though, agala gufa mekorave, but the wagon itself was roofed. It would have us covered. If it was a roof on, it was a covering on the wagon, so then at the end of the day, you should assume that then Rav's statement would be beneath the area that's covered is still a problem. So the Gemara answers, Amar Shmuel be a sedos. So Shmuel, we answered that we're not talking about the area that was covered. Rather, we're talking about the sides which were had open spaces that were made like they had like it was a. I don't want to describe it like sedos literally means a peg, but it means that they had like cross beams with spaces in between. That it was a type of wagon with cross beams and spaces in between, and these area were large enough to assume that they were open and did not have a problem of love, and that is what we're referring to over here, and therefore there'd be no kasha on Rav. So now the Gemara is going to go back. The Gemara is going to analyze the brisa that we mentioned before, the machlokas. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbana, we learn in a brisa, crush him. The beams of an amma, they were one amma thick. At the crushim amata of an amma ulamalan kalin volchin ad ke'etzba, and when they came to the top and started reaching the top, then it came down and it was carved down, and it was small at the top, and it was only going to be an etzba, only the size of a and they narrowed down, and they were going to be the size of a finger breadth. So the Gemara says, Shinemar, how do I know this? The pasuk says, "You samim al rosha." The pasuk says, and together they're going to be like ended at the top, meaning towards. So the pasuk continues like we towards the single ring, right? Etc. etc. But v'lahalanu aya omer, and the hemshach says, "Tamu nechrosu." And the pasuk also says, and when Klal Yisrael are crossing into the Yarden, it says that it came to an end. The lashon of a tam over there is they come to an end. So we see over here that tam means to finish or to end. So too over here, the beams kiel were ending, meaning they were extremely, extremely, extremely thin to the point where they looked like they had kielu ended, so to speak. So meaning it was very, very thin. It was only an etzba wide. That was divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's all Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Chemia Omer, Kishem Shalmatan Ovenama, Kach Malmanin Ovenama. Rabbi Chemia says, no. Just like at the bottom, they were one amma thick, so too at the top they're also one amma thick. Remember, Yachad, the pasuk says together. Together implies they should be the same thickness. The Gemara says, but ask a kasha. The Gemara says, wait a second. That in the day of Haksev Tamim, according to him, doesn't say the lashon of Tamim, which implies like Rabbi Yehuda wanted to be Dorish. So the Gemara answers now, Ahu delesu shleimim velesu dinasira. So no, the fact that it says the word of Tamim, that's teaching you that they should bring whole beams as opposed to Two halves, and they shouldn't bring planks and attach them together. Rather, they have to bring an entire whole beam. The Gemara says also that there's another diuk that we had. V'idach nami aksev yachto, but the pasuk does say yachto. So how is Rabbi Yehuda going to deal with that? So the Gemara answers that he's going to say hahu de'lishalchfiu me'adade, that they should not be they shouldn't be positioned in a way that's not straight, meaning that they should be exactly aligned together and they should be exactly straight. So the Gemara now asks the bishlam alaman da'amar kishim shemat on yavakach on alamat. So the pasuk says that on the western side of the Mishkan, he should have six krushim, six beams, and the two beams are going to be on the, for the four corners of the Mishkan at the end. So where says the asay pusya dehane, for the width of these corners are going to come in mali lehu lesomchei dehane, and they're going to fill the thickness of these other beams at the end of the northern and southern walls. However, leman de'amar milmatan ovanama l'malan kalin v'olchein ad ke'etzpa ha'ayel ve'anafik. But wait a second. According to one who holds that these beams were an amma thick, and then at the top they thinned out, and they were only the size of a finger length. So then what's going to happen is that the beam on the northern and southern wall are going to come together. They're going to not face each other. They're going to be sticking out a little bit. Meaning, if you have a picture of all these are described, it's hard to describe without a picture. But at the end of the day, the two boards will come together straight up and not going to be facing each other. Rather, they are, and there will be a problem of yafta if they're going to be sticking out. So the Gemara answers to shafalu hey, v'shafalei bay turin. This isn't going to be a kash at all because we're talking about where the quarter boards of the western wall were, again, they were together, the whole side of it was going to be to slope together, the entire side, so therefore they are going to not be sticking out, and therefore together they are going to match each other and be the same, and be the same length as width as each other, kilu, that they're not going to be sticking out. Okay, now the Gemara continues. The Gemara quotes the pasuk v'abariach haticham besocha krashim, which means that the middle bar that was inside the boards, Tana, I'm sorry, the Bryce tells us, b'nesei omed, that it was positioned miraculously, the fact that it was there. I mean, what exactly was the big miracle of it? So Miri explains that the middle bar was longer than all the other bars, and the middle bar was a single bar running through all the beams. All the other bars were only used by half a wall. So you would have, it's very likely the middle bar would have broken, yet it remained stable like any of the other bars. That was the big miracle. Other explainers, so the Eretz Eliyahu explains that another pshat, he says that it stood miraculously, it floated in the air. In its whole, it floated in the air. That was the big miracle that happened over here. Either way, that's what the Gemara says about B'nei Seher. Omen, the Gemara continues, V'esa Mishkan Tasa Esir. Yos, Orech, Ayurach, Asrimona, Asrimona, V'esrim, Amba. That you should make them for the Mishkan, you're going to spread 10 panels. The length of one panel is going to be 28 Amos. And the Gemara continues, Shade or Kayo Lepusya the Mishkan. So if you put the length of the panels across the Mishkan, Kamahave, how long was it going to each panel? The Gemara says, Esra Tuna, you're going to get to 28 Amos. Dal Asarli, Grace, you have to subtract 10 for the roof that's over the inner part of the Mishkan. Pashalu, Tesha Laikisa, so you're going to have 9 Amos of the curtain for the south front, for the northern side. For Tesha Laikisa, and you're going to have 9 almost to the southern side. The Rabbi Yehuda, now the Gemara is saying Rabbi Yehuda holds that again it was only an etzba at the top of the at the top of the crush, at the top of the boards, migla ama da dunim. So we see that only the ama of the sockets was going to be left exposed. The boards were 10 amos tall. Their bottom ama was in the sockets. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he holds that again, there was only an etzba, so the remaining 9 amos on the curtain on each side covered the outer surface of the boards, which only 9 amos, that we, therefore leaving only one ama to leave the sockets open. So now the Gemara says the Rabbi Nechemiah, so the Gemara now quotes that according to Rabbi Nechemiah, migla ama de krashim, according to him, the ama of the boards is going to be left exposed because according to him, the walls were an extra ama thick on the top, an extra ama of the area, so the curtains was going to have to come and therefore cover it. So therefore, according to him, there's only 8 amas of the area, so the curtains that were going to be over the walls, so therefore that would be, according to him, then you're going to have an ama of the area of the crushing that was going to therefore be open because of that extra thickness. And the Marna says, Shadi Pusai La Arba Bashkan. So when it comes to the width of the panels of the Mishkan, Kama Havas, how much are they? The Marna says, Arbaim, they're going to be 40. Amos Dal Tosin La Igra. So you have to take off 30 for the amount that the roof covered the part of the Mishkan of that part. Pashalu Asher, so then you're going to have 10 Amos remaining to be covered over the wall. The Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, mixed the Amma Da'adonim, according to him, the Amma of the sockets were going to be covered because, as we mentioned before, the 10 Amos were going to cover the, going to be 10 Amos curtains, going to cover the 9 Amos of the board, as well as 1 Amma of the sockets. So the Gemara says, Le Rabbi Nechema, however, according to Rabbi Nechema, Migla Amma Da'adonim. According to Rabbi Nechema, the Amma of the sockets is going to be left open because, according to him, you have 10 Amos and you have to cover it with the Amma thickness of the top of the board. So since it has to cover that, it's not going to be able to cover the Adonim. Now the Gemara continues, Gemara says, Vasisa Yeros Izim La'ohel Orech Hariyah Achas Shloshim Ba'ama. The Pasuk says you're going to make the panels that go there, and it's going to cover the Mishkan, and then the length of the panels is going to be 30 Amos. The Gemara says, Shadeh Orkai Lepuset Mishkan. The length of the panels across the width of Mishkan, Kamahav, how much are they going to be? Plus, in they're going to be 30 Amos. So then the Gemara says, Dala Sar Le'igra, you subtract 10 for the roof of the Mishkan. Pashal Eser La'aygisa, V'aser La'aygisa, you're going to have 10 Amos for the northern side and 10 Amos for the southern side. The Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Miksa Amma De'adonim, the Amma of the sockets were going to be covered, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because again, according to him, you only had the little bit of the etzba on the top of the wall. However, the amma of the sockets are going to be left exposed because he had to be covered for the extra amma is going to be taking up the point with the thickness of the top of the wall. So the Gemara says that this is really true. We see this, these cheshbonos that we made is true in the Brayse. Tanim ha'achi va'amma mizev amma zev be'odef. So the pasuk says that the amma on this side, the amma on this side is going to be extra. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? And then it's going to be used to, the hemshech of the pasuk is also important for us over here. The hemshech of the pasuk says, that it says, or if you're also oil, yes, saruach atzid mishkan mizem mizel lechasos, so unable to cover it up. So where's the lechasos amma shal darim? What's it covering up? It's covering the amma of the sockets. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Nechemiah omer lechasos amma shal krashim. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's to cover the amma of the boards, and this will be shli tassam about whether or not the top of the board had an etzba or had a full amma like the first part. Then the Gemara says, shadi pusay leorka de mishkan. If you place the width, now analyzing the width, kamehav, how much is that? Arbaim va'arba, 44 amma. Stal plus in the igros, so you take, subtract 30 for the roof of the Mishkan. Pashu le'arbasrei, you're going to have 14 for the amos for the tent. Dal tarsa le'kafle, subtract another 2 amos for the doubling over of the sixth curtain of the Mishkan. As we see over here, since the sixth panel is going to be covered over. Pasha Lehu is doubled over. Pasha Lutartis, right? So then you're going to have 12 Amos left hanging over the western side of the Mishkan. Bishlam Rehuda, this makes sense. According to Hanya Dachsev Chasiria Odefet Tisrach. The Pasuk says that the extra panel is going to go over the side of the Mishkan. El Rabbi Nechema, my Tisrach, what does it mean that it's going to go over, straight over it on the ground? Only an Amma extra panel is going to lay on the ground. According to him, according to Rabbi Nechema, one Amma was needed to cover one Amma, the width of the western wall. So therefore, you have another 10 Ammas covering the 9 Ammas of the board and one Amma of the Adonim. So then you have only one Amma on the ground. So according to him, what's this pasuk? The Gemara says Tisrach Mechaver. So according to this, it's going to go more than the area that was covered by the first point of the coverings of the Mishkan. According to Nechema, the pasuk doesn't mean that half the extra panel is going to go on the ground. It only means it's going to go more than the first covering because it's going to be longer. Now the Gemara continues. Tanya Devar Bishmal Lama Mishkan Dome. What is the Mishkan similar to? The Isha Shemalachas Bashuk, a woman who's going in the street. When she put Malach and her, the skirts are going behind her. Meaning, so to the Mishkan, the tent, the covering is going to go ki'ilu behind the Mishkan. The Gemara says Tanur Abanan. So we learn in the Braisa, Charutzim ayu krushin. The boards were chiseled at the bottom around the Adonim, v'chalim ayu Adonim, and the sockets were hollow in order that you should be able to put the krushin in them, right? They had to be open in order to, they so you could stick in the krushin. The Gemara says, veneering krushin, belulos kechavim berakia. And the hooks and the loops, they look like as stars do at night. And therefore, Rashi points out that the ten panels of the Mishkan, they were sewn into 2 5 panel sets. And then you had 50 loops of the blue. They were sewn at each set, and therefore they were joined together like golden hooks. And that is what we're referring to over here when we're saying that it looks like it was looped as if the stars are in the sky. Okay, Mr. Shalom, pick up with the Tanur Rabbanan tomorrow.